Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show.
This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, back again. Sadie's back, tell a friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, we'll get back to the college football playoff rankings. Plus, in Shane Beamer's case, I don't think we have to worry about him leaving for Virginia Tech. But hypothetically speaking, if all things were equal, what's the better opportunity? South Carolina or Virginia Tech? And in just a few moments, some baseball stand-up comedy. We'll put it to the test, and I'll let you know what I mean in just a moment. You can always join the conversation. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays. Online, head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com. Click on our show page, and there you can leave a comment for the show. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500 on the phones. Or you can always text the show as well, 843-608-1734. On the text line, somebody asked about the Braves and what they should do in free agency, because quietly, it's already begun. Not so much for the Braves yet, but other teams. Noah Syndergaard just signed a $21 million deal yesterday with the Angels for 1 year. Now, there's some moves going on this week. Baseball, the hot stove is starting to warm up a little bit. The winter meetings are coming up usually early December, still probably a month away, or at least 3 weeks away. And that's where you see a lot of movement because everybody is in the same place together. The hot stove will start to heat up. In the case of the Braves, you don't have to do a whole lot, right? I mean, you just won the World Series. There are certain areas you can try to plug, but you're also getting Acuna back at some point. You hope, Soroka, maybe he misses the whole year. I don't know, because that injury was pretty late in the season. I don't know what that recovery is like. But you try to plug them back in. You could go get some bullpen pieces. Go add some more pieces to the staff. Figure out what you're going to do with that outfield. But, asking about Jorge Soler, his stock, I'm sure, increased after the World Series. Maybe he's become a little too pricey. Someone's probably going to overpay for him. Prior to the World Series, I think you could get Soler for a bargain. Same with Eddie Rosario, right? Then you go win the World Series, and guys like Jock Peterson probably become more valuable and therefore more expensive. So if you're the Braves, you'll have to make a decision on some of those guys. You also have to figure out your own outfield. Acuna, when is he going to be back? Do you think Christian Pache can play a larger role? I don't even know. Pache, I don't even remember how he pronounces his name nowadays. When we went up against him in the minors, it was something different than how they say it now, so I don't know. We used to call him Christian Pache. I don't think he says it like that anymore. But anyways, you want a larger role for him this year. You figure out what you're going to do in that outfield. But a big thing will be for the Braves is if we have a universal DH. Now, the CBA, we're probably heading towards a lockout in baseball anyways in the next couple of weeks. The CBA needs to be re-upped here, renewed. It's got to be ratified. They have to agree. It expires in about 2 or 3 weeks. So we're probably heading towards some sort of lockout that will alter this offseason for baseball anyways. But you want to see in the new CBA, if it includes the DH for the NL, then that changes things for the Braves. Right? Then you could bring back Soler just to be your DH, or you could bring back, you have an extra spot in the lineup for, say, a Jock Peterson or somebody. So if you're Atlanta, I think you almost have to wait or want to wait to see what happens there before you go out and make certain moves. You can wait on certain guys. And then talk about a real scramble for these NL teams. You find out we are going to have a DH this year. Well, we better go find somebody to fill that spot. And it's already January, right? It could be a little quirky this offseason. But if you're the Braves, obviously they just won the World Series, so you don't have to make a ton of moves. Number one priority, re-sign Freddie Freeman. Make sure you get that settled. And that's the number one priority. And then number two, I think you kind of just wait on Universal DH and see what you have to do there and plug a few holes along the way. Now, speaking of which, Scott Boras was at, we referenced this last week when he made these comments. He was at they had a GM meeting last week, not quite the full baseball winter meetings. But, you know, they got, like, the GMs together. And Scott Boras was there, of course, the most powerful agent in the game. And we talked about this at the time because he put down the Atlanta Braves and their World Series. He has since walked that back and said, oh, you know, the Braves, they didn't do anything wrong. Right. But at the time, he put the Braves down last week and saying that using the Braves World Series as an example or reason for why baseball is in a bad spot or they need to change some things in their game because you don't want to reward, as he said, you don't want to reward tank, you don't want to reward losing. But I think the Braves were the wrong team to try to use for that message because they weren't trying to lose, and then they were aggressive when losing. Most teams just pack it in and tank. Anyways, here was Scott Boras last week. Some of his comments about this idea in baseball that we need to do a better job of rewarding winning and not so much losing.
We've got problems. We've got problems now because we've got great players being moved around in the middle of the season that hurt the teams they left with the design that they're going to be weaker. And we don't ever want a system that rewards being a lesser team. We want a system that always rewards being the better team. And the commerce of talent in any league should always be about acquisition of the best talent for positive reasons. And we have got a real cancer in our game that needs to be, that it was not understood when the draft was capped. No one really understood that, particularly in the commissioner's office, that draft picks meant so much to teams because they're not in the trenches of scouting. They don't really understand what value this has. Well, now we know. Now we know that clubs will just sacrifice seasons and say, I'm not going to win, I'm not going to do things. And players in the locker room, particularly young players, are sitting here saying, I thought we're about winning. I thought we're about growing our particular team. And fans are sitting there going, why are we doing that? Well, we have a good reason. We have a good reason because we want to get higher draft picks. So we have to remove that element to really make the game back to being competitive day in, day out.
That was Scott Boras, which I do agree. Tanking is not good for any sport, especially baseball. It's a long year, and you have a team like the Orioles that couldn't give a crap. That's not good. Baltimore should be a great baseball city. They've lost 100 games, you know, five straight years. They don't care. That's not good over the course of a long season. But I just thought it was weird to attach the Braves last week to his message because the Braves didn't tank. I mean, you go back to when they were lousy those couple of seasons. I never got the sense that it was an intentional tank job. And even so, the draft picks that they got, the only one that really contributed this year was Ian Anderson. Right? So it wasn't like it was their complete tank job that helped them win this World Series this year. What really helped was making some shrewd moves, right? Some smart moves at the deadline by being aggressive, which is the opposite of what Scott Boras was railing against last week. So I found that whole thing odd. He makes a good point. I don't know what the Braves had to do with it. I don't know why he had to bring the Braves in and say, oh, they won the World Series because of tanking. No, I don't think so. I don't get that. But this is what I also found humorous, is that Scott Boras also prepared like a whole stand-up routine when talking about his clients. So we're going to put these jokes to the test and see how good they are. I'm sure Boras has a whole, he's the richest baseball agent. I'm sure he's got a whole staff writing jokes for him. Here's what he had to say about his different clients. First on Chris Bryant, he said he's tall in stature. He's kind of the Sean Connery of Major League Baseball. Positional versatile makes him untouchable. He has Bond-like abilities. He's always red hot in the hunt for October. He's an extraordinary gentleman in a league of his own. Chris Bryant has many roles, and they're all hits. Thank you. In regards to Michael Conforto, Conforto has kind of been the king of diamonds. Little League World Series champ, college World Series champ, and as a Met, he has been an all-star. He's been a pennant winner, and he was huge in the World Series. He has basically become the king of Queens, and in free agency, he's the ace of many GM's hearts. And then when asked about the Mets, who are still trying to find a GM, Scott Boras said, there are 29 teams that have their big carts out there, and they're filling them up. Look at maybe the old adage, what's upsetting the big apple cart? I see what you did there, Scott. And it might be that it's rather unattended at the moment. I'm sure that will be there, and we know that in our shopping malls, we're very welcoming to the big apple cart. That one wasn't one of the strongest. Let's see. For Marcus Simeon, he says, in Marcus's case, he brings a charge to the batter's box. And we all know there's a shortage of chips worldwide. He's truly a modern-day Simeon conductor, so you can imagine the people who will come. On Corey Seager, another one of his clients, he says, the Seagers are used to being on big stages, and they have many hits. You can think all those Hollywood Nights and postseason MVPs. Oh, yeah, I think when you go through all of this, you say Homer's against the wind, and frankly, he's a guy everybody knows is like a rock. Of course, Bob Seger song references for Corey Seager. When you think about sculpting a pitching staff, and you're thinking, man, the target without a doubt is Carlos Rodon. I don't know. I don't get that one. But that was another one for Scott Boras. The studio audience didn't even like that. Teams that are pursuing a championship, they're certainly not pursuing the minimum. They're going directly to the max. Thank you. Thank you. And let's see. Two last quick ones. On teams that are not trying to win, he says, this is the Easter Bunny delivering rotten eggs. Thank you. And the last one, on whether he was concerned about a lockout pushing all transactions into a condensed time frame this offseason, Scott Boras said, talent is the stake. And I don't really care what time dinner is. That's right. Thank you, thank you. Make sure to tip your waitresses. I'll be here all week. Try the veal. Scott Boras with some of the corniest jokes. They're asking you about your baseball clients, and he thinks this is the perfect opportunity to run some material. Very lame. Now, I have to acknowledge, in this industry, I've always said, in broadcasting, specifically play-by-play, not so much, you know, in this role as a host, although we're guilty of it as well. But in play-by-play, I've always said it's kind of part of the job to be corny. Like, people say that about Joe Buck. Oh, I can't say he's so corny. And Jim Nance is very corny. We know that. And they all are. Even Al Michaels can be a little corny. Chris Collinsworth, very corny. It just seems like it's part of the job. I can be corny during broadcasts, you know, for the Citadel. It's just you can't be blue, right? You try to bring some sort of jokey part of the broadcast, but you can't tell – you got to tell jokes that – or make comments that are jokey that, you know – fit well for a 12-year-old, an 80-year-old, men, women, everybody. So, you know, you can't be doing real stand-up material up there saying some sort of joke that could be taken the wrong way. You kind of have to be corny. And sometimes it's easy. It's the low-hanging fruit, and you got to just go grab it sometimes on a broadcast. So I've always said it's kind of part of the role. So I can acknowledge myself. I can be corny. I acknowledge that. Scott Boras, though, here, I don't think he was intentionally trying to be corny. I think he felt he was being clever and funny, and I thought it came off incredibly corny with some of these jokes. Comparing Corey Seager to Bob Seger songs. And I don't get Chris Bryant. Why is he Sean Connery? That feels like a forced reference just so you could then use a bunch of Sean Connery movies to describe him. Like The Untouchables and James Bond and Hunt for Red October and League of His Own and whatever else.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah, he said he's an extraordinary gentleman in a League of His Own. So he combined two, and I don't remember Sean Connery being in a League of His Own. So I don't know. Scott Boras, I think
just using the word league.
I guess. And then with the baseball connection of a league of his own, I feel like that's pushing the boundaries a little bit there, combining those two. Anyways, very corny from Scott Boras. 843-721-9500. Before we run, let's go to the phones. Sam is with us off the heels of a wild night last night at the TD Bank Arena, or as they call it now, the Six. Sam, what's going on? How are you?
Good. How you doing, good sir?
I'm doing all right. What's up?
Hey, I have a two-part question for you real
sure.
quick before the commercial break. So I've spoken to the new head coach at the Tar Heels, name Davis,
yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, Hubert Davis.
I got to see Roy Williams for the first time because he's a legend.
Yes.
The second question I'm having is our home team is going to Stillwater, Oklahoma. I am a little concerned about the game against Oklahoma. I know that they have a great ball club up there. And I want to know what is percentage and predictions of the game on the night before the game started in Oklahoma.
Sure. You want to know how good of a chance they stand against Oklahoma State? I'll tell you in just a moment. But first, you said you met Hubert Davis. What'd you say to the head coach of UNC? Did you say anything to him last night?
Nothing really. I told him a good sportsmanship.
Okay.
And my sister went to UNC.
Yes.
The College of Charleston, and we have this family rivalry every time. Well, not every time.
Yeah. So it was a house divided last night, College of Charleston against UNC. And unfortunately, the Cougars came up a little bit short, but played really well. In terms of Oklahoma State, of course, you probably remember them from a year ago being a top 20 team, making the tournament. I had them going kind of far. I think I took them at least into the Sweet 16 of the NCAAs last year, and they let me down because I thought, you know, when you have Cade Cunningham, you have one of the best players in the tournament. And I like Mike Boynton as a coach. He's another one that if the Gamecocks make a move, obviously he should be on the short list. So I liked them last year. I thought they underachieved in the tournament. And now this year you lose Cade Cunningham. I'll be honest, I haven't watched Oklahoma State. They haven't played anybody yet. I haven't seen them yet. They're playing in a tournament here still going on this week. So they'll be a little maybe a little more burned out by the time you get to the College of Charleston. But if you hung with UNC, and granted that was at home, this is now on the road, first road game for the Cougars. But the at least the thought process, if you're on that team, is like, hey, we just hung with UNC. We can play with anybody. So we'll see. I haven't watched Oklahoma State yet this year. I honestly don't know. When you lose a star player like that in Cade Cunningham, that can be very hard to replace. And they brought in a few transfers this year. I don't know what the recruiting class is going to be like, what their freshmen, how big of an impact they're going to have. So we'll see. But it's a winnable game. I mean, you played UNC tough. You could go on the road to Oklahoma State. They're not as good this year as they were a year ago. And try to go win on the road. That's coming up on Monday. So another good test for the Cougars. All right. When we come back, we caught up with Michael Nelson earlier, who's getting ready to go win a state championship this weekend. And when we come back, we'll catch up with another coach who's trying to go win a state championship, Coach Don Shelley of Williamsburg Academy. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Our midday show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We caught up earlier with Coach Michael Nelson from Holly Hill Academy as they get ready for the state championship Friday night in 8-on-8 high school football. And now we're pleased to catch up with another head coach trying to win a championship this weekend. The head coach of Williamsburg Academy, Coach Don Shelley, is with us as they get ready to take on Hilton Head Christian Academy this weekend, a matchup of undefeateds for the state title. Coach Shelley's with us now. Coach, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing good.
Appreciate the time. As we get ready for this game on Saturday, you've played in many of these games before. How are you feeling here on a Wednesday as you put on the finishing touches and get ready to go Saturday against Hilton Head Christian Academy?
Well, we're not ready yet, but we're working toward it. How about that?
Well, you still have some time for this Hilton Head Christian Academy team, 12-0. They're in the state championship as well for a reason. You know, tell us a little bit about this matchup. What do you have to prepare for on Saturday? What type of a team are you going up against?
They're spread, throw the ball, throw it more than they run it. Defensively, you know, they're aggressive. Fly around. It's going to be a tough game for us, no doubt. But it's supposed to be when you get to this level.
That's right. And you guys have had a great year. You had a close call early in the year in overtime. Otherwise, a bunch of blowouts by multiple scores this year. So what has impressed you most about your team as you've had another a great season on the way to a state championship appearance this weekend?
Probably the mental toughness. Like that week with, when we had overtime, we had some COVID throughout our school. In fact, that Monday morning of that week, we had zero starting offensive linemen at practice.
Wow.
We got to see back as the week went on, and you know, we were able to pull out that game. But you know, this team, they're mentally tough, they're physically tough, and They work extremely hard.
You've been a coach for a long time and a really successful coach. How difficult has it been navigating something like that during this pandemic where it's always next man up? Football can be a physical sport. You can have injuries. But something like that, as you said, you lose your entire offensive line. How challenging has it been to navigate as a football coach, you know, this whole pandemic while still trying to win football games?
Well, that week was probably the longest week I've ever had in coaching, but this season's probably been the shortest I've ever had. I mean, it's been a great season, but like I say, that was a tough week. That was a tough week. We had a backup quarterback that Monday was a starting right guard. So. But other than that, it's been a dream season. The kids have done everything we've asked for from them, and you know, that's the reason we're here where we're at.
Best season for the school I read since 2013. At what point did you realize, like, hey, we got something special here? We have a really good team this year.
You could kind of see it back during the summer, how hard the kids, the effort they were putting forward during the summer workouts. You could say that we had something. You know, it was just a matter of we could finish it off. They have done that.
You've won, 11 state championships? Did you figure out a place to wear that 11th ring? We only have 10 fingers. Where are you wearing all these rings?
I've never gotten a ring.
Oh, no rings. Oh, no. Well, if you win this weekend, you got to fix that. You got to get one for the dozen championship.
Yeah, it might be my last one, so I thought I'd get it.
Interesting.
I'm not taking any longer.
When it comes to these games, you've coached in plenty of them. Does it feel any different? Does anything change from getting ready, from a coaching perspective? Is anything different getting ready for a state championship than any other game?
The biggest thing is the hype. You know, the kids are, they're geeked up. And, sometimes you kind of got to calm them down. But the team that can play most like a normal game here this week is probably going to be the team's most successful.
Now, you mentioned you may not get to another. Are we breaking news here? If you win this weekend, is this like a last hurrah for you, Coach?
Maybe if I lose, I ain't going to coach anymore. You're only as good as a coach. You're only as good as your last game. So, they may have other ideas for me if we do lose. I don't know. this is a special group of kids to work with.
Talking with Coach Don Shelley of Williamsburg Academy as they get ready for the state championship this weekend. Let me give you an opportunity to highlight. So obviously it's been a full team effort. I'm sure everyone's contributed, especially in a year like this when you're dealing with, potential COVID situations. But who have been some of your leaders that have helped you get to this point this year from the football team?
Senior-wise, we've got three senior captains, Billy Price, Joe Callahan, and Mitchell Floyd. Caleb Klein has led us in the running game and is also one of our leading tacklers. We went with a new quarterback this year. He's a sophomore, and he's been a big part of our success. He's allowed us to play some kids other places, and his name's Conrad Balder. He's going to need to have a good game for us Saturday. Teague Ward is another sophomore. He's a two-year starter at linebacker and running back. He's the team's leading tackler. Like I said, it's kind of a mixture of everybody. I think we've got six kids on the team that have at least three interceptions this year. It's not just one person. We have no one person that has a whole lot of stats. It's kind of spread all out. And the kids. I got another kid that's a senior, and he's kind of my coach of the scout team. He can line them up, which is very important. He doesn't get to play a whole lot. During the ball games, but he's been doing it so long. His name's Brian McAllister. He's been, right there, and he's just as much a part of the, our record at this point as anybody else.
Right, right. Before we let you go, Coach, let me ask you the last question. You mentioned your sophomore quarterback. To be able to have this season get to the state championship with a sophomore, a young kid, you know, an underclassman, that's pretty impressive. Must speak to volumes about that kid stepping in as a sophomore and leading you all the way here to a championship.
Yeah, he's a special kid. He's wise beyond his years. He's very knowledgeable, very heady kid. And, you know, like I say, that's just kind of helped us move some other kids around. And it's been a big part of our success, particularly on the offensive side of it.
Well, we appreciate your time. He's Coach Don Shelley of Williamsburg Academy. They're going up against Hilton Head Christian Academy this weekend for the state championship. Coach, appreciate your time. Wish you the best of luck this weekend. And if you go get a win this weekend, go out and get yourself one of those championship rings to wear.
May do that. Thanks, sir.
Appreciate it, Coach. Good luck this weekend. He's got to run with other media obligations. He's a big-time star. He's got all these state championships, and he's going for the 12th of his career this weekend with Williamsburg Academy, but this one, the 12th one. Trying to get it this weekend with Williamsburg Academy against Hilton Head Christian Academy.
Now think about this.
Yeah.
On Friday night, you can go to St. Matthews and see Holly Hill mm-hmm. play for Skeezah's 8-man state championship.
Yeah.
And then on Saturday, you can see Williamsburg Academy and Hilton Head Christian play each other in the Battle of the Undefeateds for Skeezah's Class 2A championship at Charleston Southern.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, and kickoffs at 5 o'clock. So, yeah, you can go see both of them
this weekend. Yeah, friends of the show. And we have had some success here on the Mara Midday Show, so I don't want to speak it into existence too soon. I don't want to jinx anybody. But you know what happens usually when coaches or members of certain teams come on the show, it usually leads to big things for them. So we'll see if that streak continues with these two programs this weekend.
Oh, and our good buddy Ken French said to remind you that Brett Gardner is a graduate of Holly Hill Academy.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. And will there be a convertible in it for you? to use in such a parade.
Wheels
are in motion. Yeah, you should have went for two. I mean, just, you know, ask if maybe if Williamsburg's going to have a parade or a party or something like that.
Yeah, that's true. I can double dip, do it on different days, different weekends. We'll have our victory parades. Sure, I'll be the Grand Marshal for any of your parades. Ken French will provide the convertible, and we'll do it. Wheels are in motion. Things are coming together.
And so we'll have the two Skeezah championship games, you know, involving area teams this uh-huh. weekend. Take a week off for Thanksgiving, and then a couple weeks, hopefully we'll have four area teams in the high school league championships. Fort Dorchester is still undefeated in Class 5A.
Yeah.
Baptist Hill is still undefeated in Class 1A.
Oh.
Phillip Simmons, who's only been around for maybe 5 years, they're a one-loss team, but they're still alive in the Class 2A playoffs.
Oh, they're like the Miami Marlins.
Yep, and in fact, they won their first region championship this year.
Oh.
And then, of course, Oceanside Collegiate, with only one loss, they're still alive in the Class 3A playoffs.
Wow. How about that? So got a lot going on here in these next couple of weeks. Appreciate the time from Coach Don Shelley. Now, here's the thing. You know, Michael Nelson and Holly Hill Academy, it's 8-man. And, you know, I feel like that gets a little overlooked, so we'd love to give love. And for Coach Shelley, I hope they go out and win. But he's got 11 of these already. That's why I've offered my services to the Grand Marshal for Holly Hill Academy. Because, as I said, I can relate to 8-on-8 football at Holly Hill because we're the little guys around here. They're the little guys of high school football. So I'll gladly go be their Grand Marshal. But, you know, if Coach Shelley wants me to be the Grand Marshal for their parade as well, I'll happily do it. Any team that wins, you call me up. I'll be in the convertible leading the way and celebrating a victory like I was the one out there scoring the winning touchdown.
Now, like you said, he has 11 state championships already.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, remember, we like to quote Adam Sandler movies around here.
Yes.
And the late Jerry Reed, playing Coach Bo Yu, when asked about, you know, he was asked a question by Lynn Swan.
Yeah.
And he said his dad told him that it was better than one crawfish dinner, two crawfish dinners.
Mm-hmm.
So why not get a 12th?
That's right. And get some rings, too. I'm trying to think back to when I guess high schools don't do championship rings. But if I'm a coach, forget that. I'm going out. I'm getting one made for myself. Championship, especially once I get to 12 of them. Are you kidding? And I'm wearing them all the time. Where do you put number 11 and 12? At that point, I may go like a pinky ring for like your toe, though. Right? You're like a little pinky toe ring.
Or just get a great big ring that you could use for a doorstop.
That'd be pretty cool. You put all 12 on there. Right? Get one big ring and put all like the 12 years on there. And have that on your desk or something. You got to do something. You win 12. If they win this 12 state championships, are you kidding? That's crazy to win 12 of them. You know, in basketball, you just like cut down the net. In football, if you win a championship, do you get anything at all? Probably give you, like, the football as the coach. Basketball, at least you cut down, you got the net. You got a piece of the net for you. You can hang in your office or something, or turn it into a ring. That's what people do, right? You give that to your high school girlfriend, the ring, with the basketball net. Football, you win a state championship, you got to get something. Go get yourself your own made championship ring, Coach Shelley. Go get 12 of them if you win this weekend. Appreciate the time from the coaches today. Coming up, speaking of coaches, what is the better opportunity for a coach? South Carolina or Virginia Tech? Plus, there's another coach who I brought up on Monday's show as one of the losers of the weekend in college football, and I thought he only furthered my point yesterday by putting his foot in his mouth. We'll get to that audio coming up as well. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up, what would be the better opportunity, South Carolina or Virginia Tech? It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Hopefully, walking the road of broken dreams will be Hilton Head Christian Academy this weekend. And also, Andrew Jackson. All right, how could I forget Andrew Jackson Academy? All due respect to those teams and kids, but you know where our rooting interest is this weekend. Appreciate the time from the coaches today. Michael Nelson of Holly Hill Academy. And for Williamsburg Academy, Coach Shelley, who has already 11 championships and is going for number 12 this weekend. Speaking of coaches, we know yesterday we get the news Justin Fuente's out at Virginia Tech. We talked about that throughout the afternoon. People immediately link Shane Beamer to Virginia Tech. It's the obvious connection. I understand why. I found this interesting, though, in terms of on the Cover 3 podcast, this conversation, Danny Cannell is part of that podcast, and he was talking about just in terms of the idea, the conversation to be had of what would be a better opportunity anyways. Would you rather be at South Carolina, or would you rather be at Virginia Tech, assuming, of course, both sides would be interested? Here were Danny Cannell's thoughts on this whole conversation in regards to Beamer. Oh, we'll grab it. 1 second. Now, disclaimer, in the meantime, we talked about this yesterday. I don't think there is, and we also played Shane Beamer's comments on the show yesterday from the press conference where he, you know, certainly shot it down, as you would imagine any coach would in that scenario. Most coaches would. Some leave that door open. But for Beamer, as I said yesterday, I don't think there's interest on either side, and you need that interest most importantly from Virginia Tech. I don't know why they would really be interested. Here were Danny Cannell's thoughts, though, on this whole situation and scenario and trying to, you know, you make a pros and cons list. Which one would be better? Here's Danny Cannell.
If you are Shane Beamer and you're his agent and you're advising him and you're looking at, all right, for the next 10, like, where do you want to be somewhere for 10 years and possibly build some stability, which is almost impossible to do as we're learning in this landscape. Or let's say you want to win a conference championship within five years. You want to try to, and maybe you parlay that into a bigger job. What place would be better for you? And it's funny because, but like, if we would have talked after the Vanderbilt game when South Carolina needed a game-winning drive to win that game, and you would have asked this question, I think we all have been like, man, it's impossible to win at South Carolina. Like, how tough is that to win there? You would have said, oh, if I'm your agent telling Shane Beamer, hey, if you have a good relationship with Whit Babcock, maybe you explore this option because you go there and maybe have a better opportunity to make inroads. So I think it's a more interesting question than it is, oh, I'm hearing anything. But I also wonder with Whit Babcock if he wants to kind of get away from that Beamer name. Say, man, if it gets uncomfortable, is it going to be hard for me to separate? And I also wonder if the fan base would be enthused with that, if they would be enthusiastic, or they're thinking, oh, we're just trying to go after the Beamer name. Like, I honestly just was more curious about Shane Beamer as a candidate and kind of all the implications that would go with it.
Danny Cannell, I do agree with him that it's a more fun, like, conversation or a question, like a hypothetical. It's a more fun hypothetical than it is really a story. That's how I see it as well. I don't think there's anything here. I just think it's more fun to think about. But I don't think there's some sort of storyline actually here or interest from certainly Virginia Tech or Shane Beamer. But with that said, right, to have that conversation, hypothetically, what would be the better opportunity? Say this was a year ago, and Virginia Tech moved on from Fuente a year earlier so that they could get into the Shane Beamer sweepstakes. And you're Beamer sitting there, or any coach for that matter, and you're wondering, where should I go? South Carolina and Virginia Tech both want me. Where am I better off? The points raised by Danny are good ones. Virginia Tech, you certainly have a longer leash. Fuente lasted there for 6 years. People thought he was going to get fired for the last three. And for Virginia Tech, not only a longer leash, but the ACC is wide open. The SEC leads all conferences, as you could guess, in coaches fired over the last decade. And it's not that close, right? No surprise. In the SEC, it's more competitive. There's less patience. And teams are looking to make moves. In the ACC, coaches are given a little bit of a longer leash, a little more leeway. And plus, it's wide open. I mean, Clemson has been dominant, but the Coastal, right, they call it the chaos, the Coastal chaos, it's wide open. You could go to Virginia Tech and compete for a division title at least a spot in the ACC championship, really, well, right away. We've seen that year after year after year. And with Clemson down, at least for the time being, maybe just for this year, right, but now you're looking at a different ACC champion altogether, or at least a more competitive game with Clemson if it comes to that in an ACC championship currently, or as you head into next year. So certainly in terms of winning quicker, I would say Virginia Tech, in terms of maybe being given a longer leash, just theoretically speaking, yes, the ACC over the SEC, history has shown that. But with that said, for Beamer at South Carolina, it's like when you're an alumni or alumnus, right, and you go back to your school, which in this case would be Virginia Tech for Shane Beamer, but schools do not want to fire alumni of the school. They wait. That's why that was the knock on Cliff Kingsbury when he got hired by the Cardinals. They were thinking, you didn't work at college and your own alma mater fired you. They try to wait as long as they can. Scott Frost just got an extra opportunity here at Nebraska. Right? I don't know if a different coach is getting the same opportunity if they're not Scott Frost. Harbaugh at Michigan. Right? People think he's hung around too long. It's just it kind of reflects poor. You want to give your alum as many opportunities as you can. You don't want to have to fire them. You want the happy endings. That's why you bring them back. Oh, Scott Frost coming back to Nebraska. And you think back to how it was when he was the quarterback. You don't want to fire that guy. And my point being, for Shane Beamer, even though he's not an alum of the Gamecocks from a graduating standpoint, he is from a coach, and he's beloved in the area. I think the last thing they would want to do, you know, is fire him, say, after just 3 years. I think they will give him a longer leash than a lot of other coaches, or specifically other coaches in the SEC. So when you're making a pros and cons list, typically, yes, the ACC seems to be a safer haven for coaches. Typically, yes, a coach, if you're looking for job security, you probably will have more of it at Virginia Tech than even a South Carolina because it's part of the SEC. But in this case, I think that's a wash. Because if you're Virginia Tech and you bring him in, Frank Beamer's son, he's coached there before, same idea. I don't think you're going to run him out of town after 3 years. And I don't think South Carolina would do that either. So that's a bit of a wash. In terms of facilities, Virginia Tech, money and facilities. Go look up the coaching staff. Virginia Tech's coaching staff is one of the lower paid in the ACC. The facilities really are not some of the best in the ACC. South Carolina, yeah, their coaching staff's towards the lower paid as well, but at least they have the new facilities. Point being, Virginia Tech, it's not like you look at them and say, like, wow, they have the best facilities in the conference, and they pay their coaches a ton. No, it's still a little bit of an uphill battle for them, even in the ACC. Other points made in terms of parlaying it into a bigger job. Yeah, Virginia Tech, because you could win quicker, I could see that appeal, but I don't think that's what Beamer wants. Because the whole point, and he referenced this yesterday in his press conference, the reason why they put the welcome home sign up at the stadium, right? Because this is where he wants to be. And that was the appeal in hiring Shane Beamer to begin with. You didn't want to hire a Hugh Freeze. We heard this from a lot of Gamecock fans at the time that didn't want, you know, say a Hugh Freeze for a number of different reasons, but also because he'd be there for only, say, 2 years and try to move on to something bigger. You wanted somebody where you can, you know, where they're going to lay some tracks down, some foundation. They're going to raise their family. You wanted a guy that was in there for the long haul. And I do think that's Beamer. So I don't think that's Shane's biggest appeal, that he saw this as a stepping stone like he would see Virginia Tech. So for all that, right, where would you rather be? If I'm just Coach A, if I'm just some generic coach, yeah, I probably would rather be at Virginia Tech because I know I'll be given a longer leash and I'll have a better chance to compete early. Even though it's not the SEC, it's not the number one conference, and the SEC brings a larger profile and more money, I probably would prefer to be at Virginia Tech right now. I think I could turn that around maybe a little bit quicker, compete for an ACC title certainly sooner than South Carolina will compete for an SEC title. But for Shane Beamer, again, we can't get into his mind, but I don't think that's what he's looking for. Because I think the reason why he took South Carolina was kind of for the opposite reasons, to get back home. to be there for a while, to help turn that thing around, to be invested for the long term. And I also think the last part that I'll mention, that Danny Cannell mentioned there, is interesting from Virginia Tech's perspective. I said yesterday, if I'm Shane Beamer, I want to go do my own thing. I don't want to follow in Frank Beamer's footsteps at Virginia Tech. But I never looked at it from the other side, and Cannell brings up an interesting point. Right? If you're Virginia Tech, do you want to stay away as well? Like, yeah, we hired his father. Do we want to go back to the well and just bring his son in? Could seem like a lazy hire. Could maybe be a turnoff for the fans. Like, oh, as Cannell said, right, we're just chasing the Beamer name. You're chasing ghosts almost. And that you want to, not only does Shane maybe want to do his own thing, but for Virginia Tech, you're thinking, yeah, we want to do our own thing. We had Frank here for years. We had the Beamer name. Let's kind of distance ourselves and go do something different. For all of those reasons and others that we detailed yesterday, I just don't see any sort of mutual interest here. But maybe I'm way off. Vegas has put out the odds for Virginia Tech's opening, and the favorite right now is Jamie Chadwell, plus 400. Then Billy Napier is second. Mike Elko, the defensive coordinator at Texas A&M, is third, followed by Dave Clawson. How about fifth on the list? They're tied. Brent Venables and Tony Elliott, the two coordinators for Clemson. Then you have Joe Moorhead, Bill O'Brien, Sonny Dykes, Hugh Freeze, and then you get to Shane Beamer at plus 1,800, which would be, let's see, let me count these live on air. That's always good radio. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He's 11th. 11th best odds in Vegas, Beamer, for that job. So Vegas sees it similar to me. I think it's a long shot. I put it at less than a 5% chance we even get to a point where it's being realistically discussed. I think it's a non-story, but it's a fun story and a fun hypothetical to think about. Where would you rather be? Would he actually entertain it? I don't think so. I think he is where he wants to be. Most coaches, yeah, maybe you prefer Virginia Tech over South Carolina. For Beamer, I think he's fine in Columbia. 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. Let's go to the phones. Rodney is with us. Rodney, what's going on? How are you?
I'm well, Luke. Yourself?
Not too bad. What's up?
How about that? Wanted to congratulate CFC and their good battle last night. They definitely took it to the Bulldogs last Thursday. I got a chance to go see the game, and it was good to see. Can't remember. I think it was Loyola, Maryland. We played the following day, and definitely had a better showing. I think they only lost by 10, but I didn't get to follow exactly how the breakdown was. Mm-hmm. But I can let you know, remember back last year, well, not last year, but this season, just at the start of it, we were supposed to have the Bulldogs from here come up to Orangeburg to play. But because of money issues, state was able to play in Mexico State, and that game wasn't. From what I've heard, they're trying to get it scheduled, but right now I wasn't sure if you had looked that far ahead up on the schedule, but basketball, we're going to be playing each other twice. It'll be the Sunday after Thanksgiving in Orangeburg, and then we'll be down here and play both the Citadel as well as Charleston Southern the weekend of the 18th. The game actually would be, I think, that Monday and then Tuesday. So I'm hoping it'll be a good weekend for my school, at least. We're getting to go to the Celebration Bowl on that Saturday. So
yeah, could be a big-time weekend.
We'll get back in touch with each other and have something set up and have a good time at it. When we did play, I saw Charleston Southern. I thought it would have been over at their place because I haven't had a chance to go over to their quote-unquote dome, but it's going to be at McAllister Fieldhouse. It's part of their classic. So
right.
I challenge all of the Bulldog fans, as far as either Citadel as well as SC State, to show up at McAllister Fieldhouse. And if you can, make the trek up to Orangeburg. Some family are in that area, so swing on by SHM. That's the State Bulldogs basketball facility.
Yeah, certainly. I hope it's a good environment. Good to hear from you, as always, Rodney. Looking forward to those games. Yeah, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So next Sunday, the Citadel and South Carolina State will play at Orangeburg. We'll make that trip. South Carolina State played, I guess, Georgia last night, so a different Bulldog battle there. And I think South Carolina State has lost 28 of 29 games now in basketball, so it's been a tough stretch for them. And we'll see how they match up with some of the local teams, including the Citadel and Charleston Southern, as part of that holiday tournament going on at the McAllister Fieldhouse right before Christmas.
But their football team has a chance to sweep the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference this weekend when they travel to Norfolk to take on Norfolk State.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're 5-5 overall, but again, they had to play a bunch of money games early in the season, so that overall record could be very misleading. And also, Norfolk State is 6-4 overall and 2-2 in the MEAC, so they're good enough to be a spoiler. So this is a game to look at.
Certainly, coming up this weekend. Yeah, South Carolina State has won 4 of their last 5 after a slow start in football. Yeah, Citadel basketball, play them twice, as mentioned there. A home-and-home this year, so we'll get a good look at South Carolina State this year. Sunday, it's a 2 o'clock tip-off on a Sunday. Oh, man, that's tough. I'll be paying attention to the basketball game, no doubt. I am a professional. But I may also have the iPad over to the side with Red Zone on a Sunday afternoon during that one next Thursday, or I should say next Sunday after Thanksgiving. By the way, the Citadel takes on Duke on Monday night on the road. Looking forward to that. We'll see for Duke if there's any fallout from this DUI situation. Their star player played last night. How about just the fact that Coach K, it was his grandson that got the DUI? Maybe that's a sign that it's time to retire when your grandson, by the way, he's a junior, right? It's his third year on the team. Like, at this point, Coach K, maybe here's your sign, hang it up. But he's 74 years old coaching his grandson. Jim Boeheim is 77, still coaching his son on Syracuse's team. That's just odd to me. Coach K is coaching his grandson. Boeheim's 3 years older. He's coaching his son. They skipped a generation. We'll wrap up hour two when we come back. It's the Mara Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Mara Midday Show.
Wrapping up hour two here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Coming up next hour, we'll talk some golf with Jeremy Schilling, who joins us every Wednesday. And we will also get back to the college football playoff rankings, which came out last night. Not much changed, but maybe we should expect a couple of changes moving forward. Get to all that coming up. Before we go, let's check in with Super Dave, who's with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
All right, Mr. Luke, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. What's up?
Well, I look forward to Saturday when Auburn and Carolina gets clashing. I know Carolina's going to be in a – they're going to have to win because they get ready for a bowl. They got a chance now to take back a gear and beat Clemson in the Palmetto Bowl. So hopefully they could be in the a good bowl. I'll be happy.
Yes.
You know?
So the Gamecocks can win the Palmetto Bowl, go to a different bowl, and you can have a bowl of Oreo ice cream all in one weekend.
I'll be happy that they could get to a bowl.
Oh, okay.
That's all I need. And then I know it's just building for this year, but next year, who knows, it'll be better.
They should. They better. That's the idea, right? You take one step closer every year under a new head coach. A bowl in year one would be really good for the Gamecocks, and then you try to build off of that next year, have a winning season, a winning regular season next year, and then you move forward, try to get closer to 10 wins, and eventually you're in an SEC championship. That's the hope. Slowly take one step forward. It's going to be a really interesting final 2 weeks for these two teams. Clemson, South Carolina, they're not competing for a conference championship, but Clemson, you get Wake Forest coming to your building. If Wake wins on Saturday, they lock up their spot in the ACC title game against the former team that dominated the conference, so I find that interesting. For South Carolina, you got Auburn coming to your building with their backup quarterback in what is a winnable game, trying to go to a bowl. And then we get the Palmetto Bowl next week, Clemson, South Carolina, where certainly it's a much more winnable game this year for South Carolina. I think it's an interesting final 2 weeks for these two here this season. Hour three coming up next. It's the Mara Midday Show on ESPN Radio.